Ladies and gentlemen, we are here to talk about Dev Patel's directorial debut, Monkey Man. Nick could not make it because he is still driving a rickshaw through the streets of Mumbai, India. So I got a ringer. Let's talk about Monkey Man.
That's a tuk-tuk.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Two Peas on a Podcast, where we review the latest and sometimes greatest movies every week. Gerald is here with you. However, as I kind of spoiled in the intro, Nick is nowhere to be found for the second week in a row. So producer Dan is coming out from behind the scenes to get back on the mic. Dan, how long has it been stacking triggers? I'm not counting that, of course. I'm talking about movies.
Not counting stacking triggers. It's been since early September of 2023.
But you don't miss it. You said you watched like two movies since then, right?
I think I've seen in total five movies, and two of them were new. Two of them were X-Men 1 and 2, because we were babysitting or dog sitting for my sister-in-law, and their dog's name is Charlotte. We abbreviate it to Charlie. And then sometimes when we want her to settle down, we say Charles, as like fucking Magneto does in X-Men. Mm-hmm. I'm like, boy, how do the X-Men movies hold up? And pretty well.
That's cool. I like that. And you get to reuse that. So you stepped up to the plate, man. Nick's got a lot of stuff going on. Live stream for The Cure is right around the corner. And he just hasn't been able to get out to the theater the last couple weeks. And I didn't want to skip two consecutive weeks. So Dan said, you know what, man? I'm going to go see this Monkey Man thing, and I'll talk to you about it. And here you are. So don't give anything away quite yet. You know how it goes. So we will see what we thought of this new film from Dev Patel. Did you want to tell people that it's like a tuk-tuk thing? Because you kind of got on me about that.
Oh, yeah. So Gerald called it a rickshaw. But there's no spoilers when I say this. But like, somebody has like a souped-up vehicle. It's a three-wheeled vehicle, and it is a tuk-tuk. And Gerald's like, oh, it's a rickshaw. No. Having played the video game Hitman 3 or the Hitman series, you get to kill somebody using a tuk-tuk by lighting it on fire. So I am very well aware that that was a tuk-tuk.
I had never heard that term until you just corrected me on that. So
I'm a learned man, Gerald.
You're always bringing knowledge, you know, the more you know when producer Dan's around. So thank you. I don't know. Maybe there's not rickshaws in India. I don't know. It was a cold open. It was to make fun of Nick. So if he's listening, there you go. That's Nick's little shout out for this week. Dan, the main review is Monkey Man. We're going to be discussing that here shortly. But before we do that, Dan, you know what we like to do every week when we start the episode is we look over on social media and see what the fans had to say and what we call the one big question. Let's check it out.
You've got to ask yourself a question.
I have a lot of questions. Number one, how dare you?
All right, Dan, so you were saying you're looking over in our Discord chat and you were going to grab a question that we can answer this week. What do you got over there, man?
All right, so we have a question from, let me see if I got this right, Dan of Action. And they say, more of a statement, if I hear the phrase rescued from Netflix on the podcast, unironically, I'm going to beat whoever said it with a steel chair.
Who the hell is Dan of Action?
What a great statement.
How did he get into the Discord?
What a smart person that is saying that.
That guy needs a hobby, I tell you. Who the hell is that? How did he get in the Discord?
Just a real intelligent fella. No, actual question.
All right.
This comes from Yaney. Did you have a parent or a guardian who inspired you with stories as a child, as the protagonist's mother did? And if so, what stories? So, no one really inspired me with any stories. But my aunt, when I was much younger, would take us to the movies all the time. There was a movie theater about 10 minutes from her house. And she'd make her brother drive us because she didn't drive for some reason. I don't know why. There's much lore that I don't know about my aunt and uncle. For instance, neither married. They lived together for basically their entire adult lives. And before anybody gets any ideas, I have no idea. Because I know somebody's thinking, well, I wonder, maybe
living in sin.
I don't know. No one said anything, but She would take us to the movies, and she took me to see at one point Independence Day. Mind you, 1996, Dan is born in 1989. So that means I am a whole, at that point, 6 years old seeing Independence Day. And safe to say, it's my favorite movie because of that. So like that's like the closest thing I can think of when it comes to stories in like inspiring me is like, this is like my aunt took me to see my favorite movie ever at the age of six.
Well, that makes sense because that movie, I mean, that's, you're known for that being one of your go-tos. So that makes sense.
If you don't know that, my favorite movie of all time is Independence Day. I watch it every 4th of July a lot.
I mean, I love that movie too, so I guess I never really gave it a second thought, but I didn't know the kind of circle back around to where it kind of originated for you, so that's cool to hear that as your friend as well. Well, for me, I'll stay away from movies because I have a very similar kind of deal with my father kind of introducing me to old movies, you know, old Westerns, which I've talked about on the show before, and
sure,
just a lot of old stuff in the 80s and stuff that I really shouldn't have been seeing at age 10 or whatever. And
right.
Remain some of my favorites, but I'll go on the other side of kind of the arts world for music, because he did the same thing with music for me and spinning vinyl records. I've talked about that on various episodes of the old show before, but a lot of the songs that I find myself introducing to my daughter, who's now about to be 23, and my son, who's currently 10, my older son, kind of introducing
like
them to
like
the
a
songs.
Million. My God, she's so old now.
She's getting up there. She's about to be a California resident. It's too much. I can't take it. But anyway, I find myself introducing to them what my dad kind of spun for me, and it really did kind of influence me, at least, like, you know, my musical taste and what I want to share with my kids, because it gets to a point where it's like not necessarily even really about the band or the song or whatever, but just about like generations passing down their love of certain artists and stuff and records and stuff like that. So that would kind of be my answer to Annie there. Now. Right. I was telling you over on the Facebook page, Julio commented and he dropped like 10 questions in his comment. And I was reading through them and they're all like troll questions. So I don't know why he spent so much time trolling us. And I don't know that any of them I could really even use.
Are you aware of your show's fan base? Like, I'm the leader of your show's fan base. And the thing I do most often is make fun of you.
You do. That's your thing. I mean, that and Independence Day, those are your things.
Yes.
There's one here that I could ask you, though, and I'm going to throw it at you. How long, this is courtesy of Julio, how long do you think you would last in the ring against Monkey Man?
Oh, 0 seconds.
I got to say, this. It would just be me trying to run away from him. So maybe a minute, but
if
that's it.
If this is me. So, okay. So let's talk athletic prime. I think in my athletic prime, which was probably at the age of 21, because at that time in college, I was playing intramural flag football. I was playing on the roller hockey team. We were playing Saturday football, so I was in pretty good at like athletic shape.
Mm-hmm.
I would give myself probably a minute.
Yeah, I'm thinking a minute tops. I mean, that's generous because he was a badass in the ring in this movie, so, and outside the ring as well. We'll talk about it here in a second.
Yeah.
So thank you for everybody that submitted the questions this week over on Facebook and in the Discord chat. Make sure you look in the show notes if you'd like to get involved and submit questions for us. We will pick one every single week, at least one, and answer it on the show as we did tonight. Dan, so graciously filling in for my normal co-host Nick this week to talk Monkey Man. Dan, I appreciate it, buddy. Now, you're a producer behind the scenes. Normally, you know, every once in a while, your voice will pop up, you know, like you had something to say about Roadhouse and Nightcrawler on the last episode.
No,
and
I just had something to say about Nightcrawler. You know, let's be honest. I was asked a direct question, so I answered the direct question.
You did. And I appreciated it. So, but you're here full front and center. You know what I mean? And you're here to do the thing from the flip side where we start every review out by giving our individual scores out of 10. We have not discussed it with each other yet, and it's what we call the early score reveal.
Damn it, this always happens. I think I'm going to score, and then I never score. It's not fair.
All right, Danny boy. I have my score here. I struggled a little bit. I really struggled. I think
Oh, mine was very easy.
It's between two numbers for me, but I'm going to go with this one, and I'll explain why. As we're sitting here right now, this is my score, but I'll kind of, elaborate on what I'm talking about. So I'm going to count us in here, buddy. You ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1. I got a 7 out of 10. And Dan, I think, is missing some fingers because
I have a whole 5 here.
Wow. He's putting up a 5.
I have a whole Dev 5.
Patel's Monkey Man. I have a 7 out of 10. And Dan has a 5 out of 10, which sits 6 out of 10. You see how good I've gotten in math?
He's getting there. Yeah.
I mean, since we started the show, I mean, if nothing else, and nobody's listening to the movie reviews, but my math skills have drastically improved. So a 6 out of 10 cumulatively from producer Dan and myself on Monkey Man. It's funny that you gave it a 5. So real quick, guys, there's some general thoughts we'll get out of the way here in the next 5 minutes or so. And we will let you know when we get into spoilers. We'll run a little ad promo, and on the other side will be spoilers. So until then, it'll be spoiler free. So it's interesting that you gave it a 5, because when I was talking about struggling between two numbers, it was a 7 or an 8. So I obviously like this a lot more than you did. This movie is a tale of two halves for me, though.
Oh, like 100%.
Yeah, like the first half of the movie, I was just kind of like, it was at arm's reach in terms of like what the narrative was supposed to be, when we were going to kind of get to a lot of the action that you see in the trailers and whatnot, because we didn't have a whole ton of that in the beginning. And it was obviously set up and exposition, and you mentioned the background with his mom telling him the story that kind of mirrors what he's going to end up going through. And so I kind of get it when it all came together, but that's why I said if I saw this 2 or 3 more times, which I do want to see it again, I feel like maybe then it might be an 8 for me. But as I was watching it, best case it's a 7, just because the first half really drug for me. But once, and we'll talk about it when we get on the spoiler side, but once it gets to kind of the revenge arc and he kind of, you know, turns into the badass that, you know, he had becomes in the second half of the film.
Right.
I loved it. I mean, I love the action set pieces. I love the kind of big swings he took as a first time director. I like a lot of the kind of side narratives that we have in this film. Again, this is kind of spoilery, so I'll wait, but there's a lot of stuff I really, really loved about this movie. But the problem is none of it really happened until like 40 or 45 minutes into the movie. So that kind of brings it down a little for me, because it just took a while to get to where it needed to be, in my opinion. What's your general take in giving it a 5 there?
All right. So, like you said, it is a tale of two movies. What Dev Patel is attempting to do in the first half of the movie is a lot of storytelling through filmmaking. And what I mean by that is that the editing fucking sucks. The shots suck. The story sucks. Nothing feels cohesive. Everything is terrible. In the first half of the movie, like, I was sitting at a 3. Like, at the time he got to the temple, and I won't spoil what the temple is, obviously, but like, when he got to the temple, that's when the movie changes. But until he gets to that point, it's like, what the fuck are we doing here spending any time on this movie? Like, why? Mm-hmm. Why is Jordan Peele like, this movie's awesome? Why did anybody do anything with this fucking movie?
And he withheld that narrative too. Like, he didn't reveal that to the audience, like what his character's motivation was. Like, I don't know, you want to get into spoilers? Because I'm about to kind of cross. Go ahead and finish your spoiler.
Well, because like, there's narrative beats that he lays in the first act and a half of the movie or whatever, and then, like, you know, with I don't know what they were called, but like the transgender group, they talk about this transgender group being displaced, and it's like, that's a really weird beat to focus on. And then, you know, we see like flashes of Rana Singh and Fire, and we're like, well, obviously Rana Singh has something to do with this character and why he is the way he is. So like, to me, the motivation is like, there's obviously something here with Rana Singh that we have to worry about, that we're going to figure out at some point. It's just like, go get the, get me to caring about what he's going to do with Rana Singh. Like, why do I care to watch him go through all of this struggle just to kill this one man.
Right. Let's take a quick ad break, Dan, because I do want to kind of touch on some things, but I'm just worried that they might dive into spoiler territory.
Sure.
The movie just came out. So we'll take a quick break. When we come back, guys, we will give you another warning, but we'll be into spoilers for Monkey Man. We will be right back.
Guys, we've been doing this thing for a while, and I think it's about time we make a trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So here we go. Let's get this thing. All right. Ready? All right, what's going on, everybody? We are Dissect That Film. I am Brett.
I'm Dan.
I'm Angela.
And we... Oh, wait, guys. I have an even better idea. What if we had somebody with an epic voice sell our show in a way that our show actually isn't? What do you say?
Yeah.
Sounds perfect.
All right, let's go. Let it rip.
Your host, Parker, Dan, and Angela, slice and dice their way through the good.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
The bad.
You brought the devil.
There's a devil inside everyone.
And the ugly movies you love.
And you can't piss on hospitality. I won't allow it.
Hold your favorite films and franchises tight, because they aren't safe. In fact, it's already too late. It's time to dissect that film.
I wish our show is what that guy just said, but you know what? If you want to listen to our awesome show, Dissect That Film, you can listen to us on YouTube and on your favorite podcast apps every single Friday, where we talk about all the wonderful films, good, bad, or ugly, as that epic dude said back there. So until next time, I'm Brett.
I'm Dan.
I'm Angela.
And we'll see you all again next time.
Two Peas on a Podcast is made possible by our executive producers, Dan Brennick, Caleb Brownlee, Daniel Henderson, Michelle Dodo, Paul Prezula, Chris Yeaney, Julio Oliveira, Drew Hallam, Dan Roski, Jared Taylor, Michael Hill, Jason, David Powell, Joey Austin, Imran Javed, Kayla McCoy, Rebecca Lurch, Brett Parker, Justin Winters, Heidi England, and Brad Hargis. If you'd like access to bonus reviews, the ability to submit roulette wheel picks, and a litany of backlog content such as bonus top 10s, G-tunes, and My First Time, please consider going to patreon.com/twopeasonapod and contribute just as little as $1 to have access to everything.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. As I said pre-break, we will be discussing Monkey Man spoilers going forward. We're just going to talk about whatever we want to talk about this movie, so... If you have not seen Dev Patel's Monkey Man, come back to this portion of the episode after you have seen it. Or if you don't care, keep listening. All right. So what I wanted to say kind of to your point, Dan, was, and why I didn't want to kind of elaborate a minute ago when I was talking about it, is I was like kind of frustrated too in the first half of the movie, because I'm like, what is this dude's motivation? Like, what's his deal? I had an inkling that it was going to have something to do with his mom, because that was the only real human connection that we saw for him really the whole movie. I mean, he wasn't, I mean, I guess he kind of sparked up friendships between a couple characters, but I mean, nothing where it was like he was emotionally connected to people really.
No.
With the exception of those flashbacks with his mom. So I kind of thought that was going to be it, because I'm not an idiot, but I didn't know, you know what I mean? Like it was one of those things where I felt like I missed something. Does that make sense? Like, I felt like in the first half of this movie, I didn't go to the bathroom, but it's one of those things where you're like, you go to the bathroom and you come back and you feel like you missed something. Like, that's kind of how I felt until he gets to the scene with, what'd you say the dude's name was? The main
Rana Singh.
When he gets to kind of confront him in the bathroom there at the nightclub, and he has him snort the bleach, and then it turns into that awesome fight sequence. And from that point on, it was a mix of me putting pieces together until it's laid out for us in that one flashback, and not caring because the action was so awesome.
Sure.
If that makes sense. But the first half of the movie didn't really have either of those things. There weren't a lot of puzzle pieces. There wasn't a lot of action. I didn't really connect to, I mean, I like Dev Patel, so that helped, because I do like him as an actor, and I loved him in The Green Knight and so on. So, but you know what I mean? Like, I was just kind of waiting. until sure. it finally started happening.
Yeah, that's the big problem with the movie is that not only does it withhold a lot of information until it makes you want to care halfway through the movie, it suffers, like I said, from its storytelling through filmmaking, where the editing is terrible. Like I'm going to repeat this, but like the editing is terrible. The cinematography is terrible. Him as a character is kind of like bare bones, and you're just waiting. And that's kind of where I was. I'm sitting there waiting, and he finally gets to the temple, and I'm like, okay, are we going to get something here? Like, am I going to find out about who this person is? Because what we know about them is very little. In fact, the name that they give us is not actually their real name, because he's called Bobby at one point, or like somebody asks what his name is, and he says it's Bobby. And if you look at the floor cleaner he's using, it's Bobby's right. floor cleaner. So he obviously right. just stole that name. So we have no idea who this person actually is. So again, it comes around to, who is this man? What is his struggle? Why do I care? Why does the movie look like shit? Because if you look at the trailers, all of the trailers and all of the action comes from the second half of the movie, which is pretty fucking stupid and pretty misleading. Mm-hmm. Because when you go in and I see that action, those action sequences, and I'm like, I expect crisp action sequences, long takes, you know, kind of not in uptight action shots, but like more zoomed out so you can see more stuff, you know, the stuff like you see in John Wick, you know, the movie that has actually changed this one man army genre forever. You know, now you expect when you see a one man army movie like this movie is, you want pulled back cameras. You want, you know, good fighting. You want long takes, all that stuff. And when you don't get that in the first half of the movie or like 45 minutes of the movie, it's just mega frustrating to me watching it and being like, man, this is not what I was advertised at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're in lockstep. I think maybe I'm just a little more forgiving because I did love the second half so much.
You are forgiving.
In general, yes. But I think with this movie too, I love the second half so much. Like I said, from that bathroom sequence and that fight choreography with that character all the way through to the climax that we get. And I even like, because it does have a lull in there too, when he meets his trans army, essentially, and the transgender people, and they kind of take him in because he's in hiding because, you know, everybody's looking for him. And I thought that representation was really special too. Like, I didn't know anything about that storyline, and I went and read about it afterwards. And if you think of how important that is for trans people to be represented in a big blockbuster like this, I mean, that's a really nice touch. Like, I really like that, because he could have chosen any, he was a co-writer in this movie too. So, you know, he could have chosen any kind of marginalized group or whatever, you know, homeless people, or, I mean, you know, anything to kind of write into the story. But the fact that he went out of his way to not only represent this community that is marginalized generally around the world, I mean, even here in the U.S., and then also give them such a big part in the final act of the movie where they're just straight up kicking ass, dude. I mean, that was that nightclub scene at the end that culminates to the VIP room with the shots with the mirrors and stuff. And, you know, you were mentioning a lot of the stuff in the first half that really was a downgrade in terms of like the filmmaking prowess. I mean, he's a first-time director, but I think that it's just weird, man, that it was, in my opinion at least, it was so much better in the second half. Like, I don't know. It was like...
No, it's intentional. It's intentionally bad in the first half because he is disorganized. He really doesn't have a plan. He's just kind of going through the motions. And that's kind of how the movie feels. And that's why what I'm talking about when I'm saying storytelling by filmmaking. Because he's using the editing being bad to be like, well, this doesn't make much sense because, you know, he's kind of purposeless. The camera work is all jumbled up and looks like a disaster because he's a disaster. And he's really, again, directionless. So it's purposeful. And I respect that from a craft. However, from a viewer, I need my movies to look good and if they don't look right. good, I'm going to call them fucking terrible. And that's what I was about to do through the first half of the movie. Is be like, this movie fucking sucks. Why does anybody like this?
Let me ask you this. Do you think if, and this is going to put you on the spot perhaps, or maybe this will be easy for you, but do you think if he had chosen to show us, like if the movie had opened with the tragedy.
No. Nope.
What happened to his mom.
Nope.
Do you think that would have helped? So you like the way that it kind of reveals itself in the last act.
In theory, this is actually the correct way to do it. Because if you okay. just start with the big thing, and then he goes and fails on his mission, and you're just I feel like at that point you're just kind of like, I don't really care to see him rise back up. But now, because you've only been fed breadcrumbs, and the breadcrumbs finally lead to the loaf of bread in sitting there in the middle of the movie, now you're like, oh, this is what it was. And that's why, like, because he really never confronted it. Again, storytelling through filmmaking. Once he confronts what happened and all the events and how they shaped him, then everything becomes a bit more purposeful. The story actually like develops and becomes, you actually see the picture. His fighting gets infinitely better. The takes are longer. The camera's more pulled back and more focused on what's going on. It's, again, I like what he's doing in terms of, from a filmmaking perspective, it's good stuff. But it's fucking hard to watch the first half when it's just right. so bad.
Right. I never thought of that kind of like the filmmaking style mirroring what the character was going through. But that does make sense now, because when he kind of turns into that James Bond character almost, where he's almost indestructible.
Yeah.
It's right around the halfway point. And that I loved it from that point on. Yeah. I mean, even the slower, quote unquote, slower moments in that second half, I still enjoyed. And that was actually when... You know, with a lot of the trans folks, really. But that was when we got a lot of the emotional connection for him as a character, too. We saw that kind of human side of him, too, connecting with them in kind of the underground world there. And then I can't remember the lady that was like the object of his affection. And he had kind of had a crush on her, the girl with the tattoo or whatever. They kind of connect a little bit.
Do we ever get her name?
I don't know, actually. She ends up kind of saving his ass at the end, too, which I thought was cool.
I wonder, because like we get the religious leader who I don't remember his name. It's like Baba something. And then you get Rana Singh. And then I think you what's his name? Alphonse. Is it am I right in that his buddy's name is Alphonse?
Yeah, Alfonso. Like
Alfonso.
Alfonso.
So like outside of them, and then who's the manager? Because we also get her name, too. We get very few names.
Oh, you're talking about Queenie.
We get very few names for anybody unless they are an actual important person to him. Mm-hmm. Because Alfonso is an important person because he's able to get to Rana Singh. And Queenie's important because she's the manager of this establishment. And Rana Singh is important because he's the chief of police. And Baba is important because he's giving, he's a religious leader and therefore offering his support. But when you get to these other characters generally who are not important in the sense that they don't matter in the grand scheme of the world. No, they don't matter in the grand scheme of the world. Like Rana Singh matters to the chief of police, he matters to the world of Dubai, the city of Dubai. The religious leader is important because he's a religious leader to all of India. The, you know, Queenie's important because she is the manager of the well-to-do establishment. But so what I mean is like a bunch of people who are just regular regular people who live on the street or like live in like 10 people to a house. They don't matter, so we don't really get their names. And I could be wrong about that, but for the most part, I feel like we didn't get too many names outside of the four people I mentioned.
You're right. But we did get her name, but I don't remember it. But I guess it's Sita, S-I-T-A, is the lady that he kind of sparks up a little bit of a whatever you want to call it, I guess. kind of a mutual admiration, I guess would probably be the best way to put it. But
yeah, no romance or anything like that. It was just kind of like a, hey, we're both in this struggle together from just like completely opposite sides.
Right. Let me ask you this. This is a stupid question, but I thought about it as soon as it happened. And I was going to ask Nick about it. You're here now, so I'm going to ask you. Dev Patel wrote this, as I said. Do you think the dog storyline with the dog that he kind of groomed to show up there in the alleyway behind the thing every night and then eventually brought him the gun, which led to, you know, the great climax of the movie. Do you think that dog being written there was influenced by John Wick a little bit or no?
I mean, maybe.
Or did that cross your mind?
No, they got it out of the way early. They do mention at one point John Wick and be like, oh, you think you're John Wick. And it's like,
I know.
I mean, like, sure. But like, and of course, that is going to be the obvious comparison. Like, again, anytime you get these one man army movies, they're always going to draw the comparison to John Wick.
And I think he knew that. I think that's why it was smart to throw a couple of those little like nods in there. So I think it was purposeful, honestly.
I don't know.
I mean, who knows? But
I'm going to say no, because that is something you can do. You can there are just dogs that wander the streets of Indian cities.
I mean, that's
that
true,
is
true.
Just
yeah,
a thing
true.
That happens. So like,
but there's not rickshaws. So
there are no rickshaws.
There might not be
rickshaws. There might be a rickshaw. I don't know. But
yeah, I don't know either. Actually,
that was
a
souped up tuk tuk that was able to evade police. That was amazing.
Nicki is nice headlights, big bumper. Nicki Minaj. Remember, that's what he called it.
Yes, I do.
What did you think of the action set pieces when we get to that second half? The fight choreography. I mean, I know we've been mentioning John Wick tonight. You know, for me, I was trying to describe this to a friend of mine at my son's Little League game yesterday. And just because when you're trying to describe it to like a GA member, what I say is it's like John Wick with knives and fists. What a lot of gunplay in this movie, really.
No gunplay. At least from him, the most he does is pull out a revolver and tries to shoot people and goes badly. But sorry, what was the question again?
Just about the general, like how this holds up in terms of fight choreography, because the reason I was saying that is because you and I both are saying John Wick is now the standard, really, and at least in big budget productions.
Yes.
So how does this hold up? I mean, was this good action to you once we finally get there?
For the most part. I think the one sequence I really hate is the VIP room. I hate the use of mirrors. I fucking hated it.
Really? I love that. I thought that was really innovative.
I was like, man, you're doing a really good job here, Dev Patel. And he just kept showing these mirror shots. I'm like, oh, God, you're regressing. Stop.
I liked it. I liked it, though. I liked it. I love the scene in the elevator when he kills the dude with the knife in his teeth.
Yep.
That was a really good kill. That was really inventive. I don't remember ever seeing anything like that with a knife kill. I thought the fight choreography, you know, I was reading up on this a little bit after seeing it, and I'd read that Dev Patel broke his hand during this.
Sure.
Broke a toe. Did a lot of his own stunts. Obviously, he's breaking stuff, so he must be.
Yeah.
You know, took a lot of, I guess, wrestling, like, training to be able to do the Monkey Man scenes in the ring. So that's him under that mask in a lot of the different fight scenes, which is just, I mean, the guy's directing this movie.
Yeah.
We already talked about him writing and he's starring in it. I mean, it's just crazy. I don't know. It's just crazy to me because Dev Patel, I know from Slumdog Millionaire and Green Knight. Sure, there's a little bit of action in that a couple years ago when he was in that. But I mean, I don't know.
You're missing some of his most famous movies.
The swing. Oh, God. Are you going to say The Last Airbender? Oh, God.
I sure was. But there was the movie Lion with Nicole Kidman and her wigs. Yeah. Remember her wigs in that movie? Those were some wigs, man. Those were amazing. How did that not win Best Costuming?
I know. Where was that out of the short list? I mean, he's a good actor. He's a charismatic, charming guy. I don't know. I just am really impressed with this, like, shift to like this badass action star while at the same time shifting into the director's chair. Like, this is just fucking crazy, man, that he was able to pull this off. I mean, I know you gave it a 5, but I think you would probably agree that for a first time effort from somebody who's predominantly been in front of the camera, I think this is a pretty good first outing. I mean, again, especially with this type of movie.
Yeah. Again, my issue isn't with what he was doing behind the, my issue, how do I phrase this? My issue with him isn't that he tried something, because he was clearly trying something again.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just what he tried wasn't what I like. So he obviously knew what he wanted. He put it on camera and he made the movie he wanted to make. And that's great. I just happen to not like part of the movie that he chose to make, because
yeah,
the choices he made don't make for a good viewing experience.
I get it. For at least the first half of it.
For the first half, yes. That's what I'm talking about. Like, he clearly knows what he's doing. It's just it's like that oh god, it's the reference. It's where we trained him wrong on purpose. Like, it was kind of like one of those things where it's like, I made the movie bad on purpose and then made the movie good on purpose. Like, you know, you get your asylum movies, which are always fucking terrible and everyone knows what they are, but like, this is clearly above that level because Dev Patel knew what he was doing in making the first half not very good and then elevating it as the story required it to be elevated.
And it's crazy too, because even as you're sitting here talking about it, I mean, there's some shots in that second half that, I mean, we've already said how it just kind of looks like two different movies, but
yes.
You know, there's that shot where he's fighting on the bar and it has all the bottles lit up behind him. And it kind of has a silhouette of him and whoever he's fighting. Like, that kind of shit's like very, I mean, that's obviously not the first time somebody's done that, but
no.
I got like a Kill Bill kind of vibe in that scene before the trans army shows up, because it's him in the center of this room with all these goons, you know, descending on him. And I actually thought to myself, I'm like, oh shit, are we about to get a Kill Bill homage here where he just fucking kills a thousand dudes?
Yeah, crazy
inexplicably. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. There's a couple things. Like, you're mentioning the bar, like the fight in the bar, and he cuts away from that a couple times. And I'm like, why are you cutting away from this? This is like clearly the shot you wanted to have the most in this movie, and you're cutting it. Like, you're cutting away from this to show other people fighting. And it's just like, if you want to show other people fighting, just do a long take of them fighting. You know, have your long take of you in front of this fucking bar beating the shit out of these people. And like that, that's going to be way cooler and way more memorable. But you kind of screwed it up, because you decided to cut away from it for some reason. There's little things like that.
Yeah,
like,
I get it.
This is the big part of your movie and you're choosing to focus on the trans army, which is fine, but like, give your character a cool action, like set beat, and then give the trans army their own action
instead set of back beat. And forth.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll wrap up with our final thoughts here in a second, but what did you think of the ending? Like, how it finally comes to an end there?
He has to kill the religious leader. So, I mean, we knew that. Because it turns out the religious leader is the one who was like, hey, Rana Singh, go and burn this entire marginalized religious group, I think. I think that's what they are. See, this is also part of the problem of the story. Why? What was the point of these people getting burned out of their house?
Exactly. I think it took it to extremes, but I mean, I don't know from a religious perspective, but in my head, as I was watching it, I just thought, well, they're just a village that's refusing to give up their land. So since they won't.
Which is possible.
Well, I mean, yeah. But it's still, like I said, it still seems like an extreme measure for that type of thing. I mean, you know, you can get lawyers and figure it out, but whatever. Well, I mean, yeah, who am I?
I will say what was weird was at one point, Charlton Copley, who is in this movie as the wrestling ring announcer / owner guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Charlton Copley. Yeah. He said he's at one point saying, hey, we're all united, whether you're Muslim, whether you're this other religious group, or whether you're like a closet Christian. And a bunch of the crowd just starts booing. And I'm like,
yeah.
So was Dev Patel like a Christian? Was his group of, like, were they Christians? And but then I'm like, no, that can't be that can't be right, because like the monkey is like clearly a Hindu deity or like a different religion in there, but like clearly this is a deity in a different religion, so he can't be Christian. So why was that Christian line thrown in there? Because that makes no sense.
Yeah, I don't get it either. Yeah, there was a lot of kind of like deeper meanings that I just didn't get. Maybe I'll get them on, you know, other viewings or whatever, but I don't know. I think maybe it's deeper than I was able to kind of grasp at the time. And I'm looking forward to a rewatch of it. So just to wrap up, final thoughts, you know, we have varying opinions of the film, but I think we both kind of agree that it doesn't really pick up steam until you get through that first half, anywhere from like 45 to an hour or so. And then it starts to really pick up steam. And for me, it was worth it to sit through that 45 minutes to get what we get in the last hour. I just love the action set pieces because while I'm watching it, I know that it's his first time directing this kind of stuff. I know that he did a lot of his own stunts in those scenes, and he was just so committed and devoted to the story and obviously has a personal connection to it. So that really helped me as well. But I thought it was visually striking and visceral and brutal. I mean, he didn't hold back. I mean, we mentioned the knife with the teeth, and there's a lot of brutal, brutal fight sequences in this movie, and he's straight up killing dudes with his hands, which, you know, John Wick is his guns. And it was just taking that kind of John Wick like landscape and formula and like trading in the guns for fists and knives. And that's the way I've been describing it to people lately. So I really dug it. I wish the first half had given us more. I think you used the term breadcrumbs, giving us more breadcrumbs and more flashbacks or something to like kind of not make me sit there and go, what the fuck is this? Which is kind of what I said for the first 45 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't hate it, but I was also like, what is this? Like, what's his problem? Why is he washing dishes? What the fuck is going on? And then it finally starts to kind of come together. So if you get through the first half of the movie, you're in for a ride, in my opinion. It's a great action film once you get past that midway point. I love the effort put in here from Dev Patel. And one thing's for sure is I'm really, really looking forward to whatever he does next from the director's chair. I think this was a pretty valiant first-time effort. Dan, what's your final thoughts on Monkey Man?
All right, my final thoughts first begin with, what the fuck are you talking about with John Wick not being, like, hand-to-hand? There's plenty of scenes where John Wick is fighting people hand-to-hand. He is using guns, but, like, he's still,
But not solely, is what I mean.
Okay, yeah. Well, and if you didn't get that granular, fine.
Okay.
So, again, I think that from a general audience perspective, if you like this movie, I'm happy for you. I think that when it comes to the first half of the movie and taking 45 minutes for this movie to get going, that's comparatively like saying, hey, Final Fantasy 13 doesn't really pick up until you're about 40 hours in of a 100-hour game. It does, like, to me, that doesn't fly. That is not a thing that ever should happen, to where you're like, oh, just like you have to sit there next to somebody and be like, just wait, it'll get good. I promise, it'll get good. You like that's a death sentence for any movie with a GA. So like, I again respect the film craft that Dev Patel put into the movie. I just don't think that it was the smartest decision to do, because you're going to lose so many people, or at least in theory, you're going to lose a lot of people just because you chose to make a movie that doesn't look very good in the first half. It does pick up in the second half. It does get way better. And if the second half of the movie was like the whole movie, I would be right there with you at a 7. But for me, the first half was a 3. Like a legitimate 3. I'm sitting there like, this is a 3. And then we get to the temple, and then I'm like, all right, this is picking up. We're at like a 4. All right, all the good action is like 5. And it's like, all right, we're going to stick around there unless like something crazy happens in terms of the action, mm-hmm. where it's like, this mm-hmm. is really worth it. But like, it's good, competent action at the end. It's just, is 45 minutes of your time worth it sitting through to get there? I don't think so.
I do think so. Dan, I also think that I'm thankful that you joined me this week to talk about Dev Patel's Monkey Man. There you go. Dan from, do you want to tell them about Stacking Triggers? Do you care about people listening to that? You want people to listen to that,
I mean,
right?
Yeah, I want people to listen. I want people to watch.
tell them, go ahead.
Stacking Triggers is a Magic the Gathering podcast. It's me and Bill, my friend Bill, and we play competitive Magic at a not good level. The highest level of success that either of us has had is an RCQ, which is a regional championship qualifier win, held by me.
Oh,
I could have gone to a regional championship. However, my dog had to have like emergency surgery, and I could not afford to go anymore. So that sucks. But
I didn't know about that, man. I'm sorry.
I didn't tell anybody about it because you know I don't like bugging people with my shit. But yeah, if you want to hear some weird takes on Magic the Gathering, if you want to see bad players making bad plays and learning from them, and then yell at them in the comments, feel free to do so. It's Stacking Triggers on every podcatcher. You can also find us on YouTube, Stacking Triggers.
Speaking of bad takes, I think Nick's coming back next week, and we will be looking into Alex Garland's new film, Civil War, which apparently might be his last film.
From a director standpoint. That,
From the director's chair. Yeah,
he's very much like, I don't want to do filmmaking from directing. I want to just, I'm good with just writing, but yeah, I'm done making movies. Yeah.
Nah, I don't like that at all, Alex Garland, because he's done some of my favorites, man. I love Annihilation's great movies for the most part. Yeah, I agree. So we'll talk about his new one, Civil War, next week. Nick will hopefully be back on the other side. Dan, I really do appreciate you being here, man. We give each other shit, but I was gonna have to go 2 weeks with no episode, and you stepped up, and you said you went to see it last night, right? You went to
6:45 showing today.
Last night.
6:45 showing. Yeah. Oh, that's something I forgot to mention. 6:45 showing. Yeah. I showed up at exactly 7 o'clock to be in my seat. Still showing trailers.
It's the worst, man.
Why?
And that's at Silver Spot, right? So
that's at Silver Spot.
AMC's even worse, dude. Like, it's gotten to a point where I just don't understand why these larger chain movie theaters like AMC, Regal, whatever, why they don't have a... Well, I guess I do know why, because it's about advertising dollars, but I don't know why they don't have, like... the actual movie start time built into the showtime. So it'd be like, you know, 6:45 is the showtime, right? Movie starts at 7:05.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So then you know, like, be here by a certain time. But of course, they probably want you to see all the commercials and all that shit. So that's probably why. But anyway, Dan, I love you, man. Thanks for being here. I like what you've done with your hair. We still have the same hairdo, which means a lot to me. Hold on, let me put on glasses for Nick, because you have glasses on as well.
Yeah. We've had the same hairstyle for years. Yep.
I know. Two glasses guy, Nick. So you need to come back here. All the glasses guy, because the guys are going to take over. So, Dan, I appreciate it, brother. Thanks for talking, Monkey Man. And guys, we will see you next week when we talk about Civil War.